So the purpose of this meeting was introduced by Ben, about a week and a half ago on the committer call. We were talking, and Ben indicated that it would be good for us to talk about the interactions between the rethinking of the service deployment or the re-implementing of the service deployment work with the new module architecture work. So I have to admit right off that I'm just getting my head back into Fedora space after trying to catch up on some emails yesterday and being out at the beginning of the week. So for me, it would be helpful to start fairly simple. And I think probably since most of us haven't talked in over a week now, it'd probably be good to start pretty simple too. So setting the context here, I thought maybe I'll just give a quick overview of my understanding, and then Ben can kick in and correct me from there. And then we can move on to some more specific stuff. So as we all know, the module architecture work, the design for the module architecture is happening. And actually, it's not moving at the moment, but we've got that wiki page out there that's linked from the agenda. And essentially, the general idea is we're moving to Spring for turning the Fedora's existing modules into Spring Beans. And along the way, that gives us a way to configure things, I think, ultimately a little bit more flexibly than we've been allowed to in Fedora Config. And Ben has been also thinking about the issues around service definitions and service deployments specifically, how to make those simpler and kind of rework them so that by the time we have, say, Fedora 4, things come together more smoothly. And so he's got that page that I've linked to for re-implementing service deployments. And I was just reviewing this before the call, and I think if I'm correct, Ben, the major interaction here is between the module architecture and the service deployment reworking is really in trying to do these sort of the model-based plugging in, using sort of the model-based approach that's used by the resource index and thinking about using that same kind of approach for the service deployment system at large, right?
Well, that's certainly a question that I have out there. My concern actually is that that little Spring markup that I put in that page, it works. I mean, in my branch for my issue over there, I'm able to get that to behave correctly. What I'm concerned about, it doesn't seem like a very sustainable one issue is it doesn't seem like a very sustainable way to kind of go about determining these model-based behaviors. So, you know, I have like model-based triple generator. Maybe I have model-based service definition readers, and then I have another map of entries by model URIs, and then another one for service deployment readers. And, you know, I feel like that there's a kind of out of control, like kind of a, like that's something that metastasizes kind of quickly.
Right. So it could turn into like a huge configuration based on all, you know, if you have a lot of different models you're using.
And also undo some of the things that we want to accomplish in the way of simplifying the configuration a little bit and with the Spring stuff. So that's one issue. Another issue is that this stuff, there are some ways in which the code in this area of Fedora interacts with some other modules. So it touches on DO Manager and some other things. So So the other reason I wanted to have the talk was just to kind of get a feeling for what everyone's ideas were about the context that those modules were going to be springified, so that I had some sense about how when those other modules are relevant to the service definition stuff, how I might think about interacting with them.
Okay. So, for example, what was an example of one of those other modules you're talking about?
Let's see. I'm actually looking at my notes on that page about how DO Manager is mixed up in this stuff now. Because of the way that service definition readers and the service definition reader right now works, and the way that it gets service mappers, there's some code redundancies that are basically in place because it doesn't follow this model of the default access model of requesting an object reader from the DO manager. So one of my questions there was, is there kind of an idea that that there'll be a springified way to request digital object readers from the manager module? Or
It's a good question. So maybe we should play that out. Certainly I haven't I haven't thought about changing anything except the configuration of the initial configuration of each module, and then, you know, figured springification of other things in the system, and even applying dependency injection across the board could come at a later point. So currently, I mean, as it stands, if we look at springifying the module DO manager, that just means the initial configuration is going to come from Spring, and it's going to be available as a bean in the system to other things to have access to. So they would make their calls as they currently exist. I mean, is the kind of initial step I was thinking. But I guess, you know, there may be some design changes to those, either necessitated by Spring. I don't suspect there will be, just by like a first move to Spring, to using Spring for the modules, I don't suspect that itself would necessitate a change to the signatures of these methods. But there might be a good reason to do it, for one, following a more commonly used dependency injection pattern, or two, just as a something that makes, you know, integrating with other modules cleaner in itself. So did it occur to you that that it would be a good idea to change those signatures for reasons outside of just Spring, you know, making things work the Spring way? Or
so this is Aaron. I know at least it did to me. You know, just taking another looking at it from another perspective. And I just sent a link to the IRC. Of an issue in JIRA that I at least created. And so from the perspective of high-level storage, you know, a series of tasks that would make implementing that a lot easier is basically to improve the separation of concerns within DO Manager. I mean, I think it's doing too much, and I think that the basically, in my own opinion, it would make sense to sort of create a standalone service manager module, which basically can, you know, use DO Manager to get the underlying objects, but it itself maintains the maps of service deployments to services and all that sort of stuff, mm-hmm. As a separate module outside of DO Manager. So that would involve, you know, taking, you know, perhaps removing some of the signatures from DO Manager and putting that functionality in its own module.
Yeah. So this is the map you're referring to is the analogous to the map at the bottom of Ben's document, right? So when you say service manager, it has nothing to do with Spring concepts. It's just, you know, we've got the need somewhere in the system to have this ability to get implementations based on models. And it makes sense to have that concern be handled by a module itself rather than trying to stack it or to put it into an existing.
Right. Yeah. So it has nothing directly to do with Springification per se, but it would, you know, the creation of it would be another module that would be, you know, reflected as a Spring Bean, you know, so in the most trivial sense, but yeah, so I don't know. I mean, at least from that perspective, you know, I was kind of thinking that it would be a good idea, you know, from the high level storage perspective to move it out. And, you know, it sounds like that sort of, you know, just that putting that functionality in a separate module might be in line with what Ben's talking about.
Yeah. So this issue is the one you pointed to, Aaron, is FC repo 658. Is the task of looking up deployments for a given C model involves is currently performed by DO Manager. It'd be better to have it in another module. And so it's saying exactly that, and it's marked as an improvement.
Yeah.
Do we actually have anything today which maps C models to SDEPs?
Yeah, it's actually in default DO Manager. There's it maintains a model deployment map and persists that to the tables. So basically, you know, if anything comes in which, you know, adds a service deployment for a particular SDEF for a particular C model, it just maintains that map, so it does a quick lookup.
Okay.
And that's, you know, part of the problem is that that's sort of embedded within DO Manager, which is not the ideal place to have. I mean, I think that logic is what should be its own module.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was one of the many things that was done, you know, just in the interest of expediency.
Oh,
yes. 3.0.
So I'm just trying to pull it up just out of curiosity to sort of refresh my own memory here. This is in default DO Manager.
Yeah, there's some nested classes. There's a model deployment map and service context.
Okay. So this is the map that I do recall this. Now, this is the map that is specifically used to be able to determine which SDEP is in place or is in context when somebody requests a service, invokes a service or invokes a method.
Yes.
Based on the object that, or actually based on the content model that's in context.
Precisely.
Okay. And is that the same? I'm curious if that's the same. I guess I was looking at the stuff Ben had written up, and maybe I just didn't give it a good enough reading, but it occurred to me that the stuff Ben wrote up is actually quite a wider, sort of casts a wider net over this, or is dealing with some other concerns as well. I mean, it's
exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Some other concerns, which would logically probably, in my intuition would be sort of the same ilk, you know, would be in sort of the same, like, it makes sense to keep it within the same module as that sort of stuff. But
yeah,
So
if we think about like when this, let's say this module exists, whatever we call it, the service manager, one of the sort of main tasks it has is to be able to look up which SDEP is in context for a given C model, period. And then, given a particular service deployment, it would be able to determine what other classes actually need to be used to process that. Well,
yeah, I think you're right on top of that. The thing that we're kind of imagining is that rather than in my stuff over here is that we're hypothesizing a situation in which there's more than one type of service deployment. So not only do you have to look up what the service deployment is, but there's another condition about what the actual service deployment library that's going to be brought to bear on that service request is going to be. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
Can I sort of replay that a little bit? So what I'm talking about is we've got a way of deploying services at the moment for disseminators, for example, based on, you know, the method map and the whistle stuff that's in there at the moment. And so what we're talking about is an extensible way of introducing new ways of describing and deploying services.
That was my takeaway from the London meeting. And so what I've been trying to sketch out the numerous things that are implied by that.
Right. Go ahead.
No, yeah. I was just saying that, you know, in addition to that, you know, the part that I chimed in says that, you know, all of that stuff should be out of DO Manager and into its own module.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, and the tasks do seem related enough that for now we can at least imagine them being in the same. I think, Aaron, you suggested a name of maybe service manager.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. So, like, say that the task of looking up the SDEP given a content model, and also the ability to look up individual implementing classes for a particular kind of SDEP or a particular SDEP.
So, I mean, if you were creating a content model object, you know, an end user was doing that, they would somehow specify which kind of service definition implementation it was conforming to, whether it's the existing one or, you know, a new, say, REST-based one, for example.
I actually have a proposal about that, which is basically to have the this basically is a reaction to the fact that there's not really inheritance per se in content models, which I think is fine and doesn't need to be done away with. But right now we decide that something is a service deployment because it has model service deployment 3.0.
Yeah.
And that's the way that we indicate that something is a service deployment. And what I'm suggesting is that the thing that indicates that something is a service deployment is that it is deployment of a service definition. So some of this is there's an ontological question here.
Yeah.
That there's three relationships that are bound up in what a service deployment object is, and for that matter, a service definition object, but talking here about service deployments, and two of them are unique to service deployments. So one way you can either say that you explicitly indicate that something is a service deployment by way of a content model, or you infer that something is a service deployment by these other two relationships, and then figure out what kind of service deployment it is from the content model. Did that stick to the wall?
I guess in my initial reading, I didn't catch on to the nuance about a service deployment being a deployment of a service definition. I guess maybe I was just reading into kind of what I expected it to be, which maybe is useful to talk about, just to see what, just to be able to sort of compare and contrast. So I think one of the things we sort of imagined, and maybe naively, about being able to do service or have different versions of service deployment or different kinds of service deployments was this ability to basically say, if I have a given instance of a service deployment object, the kind of service deployment that it is really indicated by the property or the has model relationship of that service deployment. So this service deployment has model service deployment 3.0. And then in the future, some new one comes along and maybe it thinks of service deployments a little bit differently. So it's has model my kind of service deployment. And then Ben, the move you're trying to make with is deployment of a service definition is to try to make that even more extensible, right?
Right. So, what I want to say real fast is that situation you just sketched out is the thing that I am agreeing with. That part. And what I'm the thing about inference I was talking about is just given that situation where a service deployment might not have the model that is the service deployment model. How do you decide that it's a service deployment and treat that digital object like a service deployment?
Right. So unless you list out, unless the system sort of a priori knows the list of possible service deployment objects or types, then you're kind of stuck because it's just a has model relationship.
And right.
The only information you know. So.
So the thing I'm observing is these other currently extant relationships also indicate that something is a service deployment. So the other option is to infer it from the presence of those relationships.
Yeah. So.
But that might not be the good way to do it. But what I feel like is if we're not going to make that inference, then excluding what Aaron was just talking about, the service deployment stuff probably moves away from the 3.x model into the 4x model. Because working outside those bounds is going to put a conversion burden on existing service deployments.
And I guess, I think from our previous discussion about the scope of 3.4, it seemed like we were pretty comfortable with the fact that re-implementing it would probably be a 4.0 thing anyway. Unless there were, I don't know if you recall, Ben, if there were other pieces that we said, well, maybe that does fit in 3.4.
Well, you know, hope springs eternal, Chris.
Springs is the key word there, right? Yeah. Okay. So
well,
I mean,
we didn't chime in at all whether or not making that inference was a good idea. I think it is that kind of thinking of it in terms of that inheritance is a good thing. I realize that there are other issues involved, but at least in the short term for these system objects, the minimal defined objects that Fedora has to have, that we can deal with that inheritance.
Okay, so let's, at least for my benefit, and maybe others who are don't have this the mind meld exactly with Ben yet. maybe are there actually two possible approaches here? Is the thing we're referring to as the inference the idea of using is deployment of, or is that pointing at content model inferencing? I'm like, when I think content model inferencing, it makes me think about, you know, subsuming the properties, you know, spelled out by the superclass for the subclass. But then this is deployment of service definition, although it is a kind of inferencing, it doesn't strike me as really a subsumption kind of relationship.
Well, this is you know where you get into, I guess, this business on what your ontology looks like, which is you know another thing we have often in documentation lands. But so that's kind of the question, is like, do you, for that to work, is your idea of what a service deployment is that class defined by its has model relationship, or is it defined by its is deployment of relationship?
What I was going to say earlier was, you know, certainly doing it by the is deployment of relationship sounds better to me. It's a level removed, but in the end, it appears that it would allow us to be, you know, more flexible about, you know, how this determination of whether something should be treated as a service deployment is done. So we don't have to hard code a list anywhere. Extensible implementations of kinds of service deployments could be added in the is deployment of kind of way.
Would you be saying that we don't have to have the chain in there service deployment version X, my service deployment class, and then a whole bunch of service deployments?
Well, the
or at least directly connecting to it's a service deployment has model service deployment.
I think I'm suggesting that you would continue to have all three of these things. The is deployment of is the way that, as you index these objects and what Aaron was referring to, as you decide what objects you're stashing a link to in the database to help look up these service deployments. Is deployment of tells you that you need to do that, but has model tells you what kind of service deployment it is when it gets to the execution step. The other way to do that is I think actually sketched out a little bit further there, that you introduce another another model that's the service deployment model. And instead of seeing if an object has model service deployment, you look at all of the models that an object has and see if any of those have the service deployment model. And that would be another way to do it. It seems kind of complicated to me, but and then still another way to do it would be to say in Fedora 4, there's content model subclassing and everything that's a service deployment is a subclass of the system service deployment model. I don't know, but I guess in some ways this turns into a kind of big conversation, and I feel like I'm derailing things a little bit right now.
Well,
so
I think it could, if we got ourselves into this situation where everything turned into a, you know, maybe we can do this or this or this. But on the other hand, you know, maybe we just put a stake in the ground on some of these things. I mean, let's say what seems like a promising approach. I mean, I generally, if something involves determining subclass kind of relationships, it seems on the surface to me, and maybe this is a bias, but it seems like that could become difficult along the line, and you know, arbitrary levels of subclassing and being able to keep all that information in context seems kind of difficult. But on the other hand, having a service deployment has model something, and something has model, something is deployment of service deployment. Is that, well, first of all, parentheses, is it fair to refer to that instead of with like 30 words to as the inferencing, I don't know, or is it better just to say that's the is deployment of scenario? sorry. It's probably not a good question, right? I mean, I think what you're saying is referring to it as is deployment of isn't specific enough to refer to a specific approach here.
That I think is true, because it's involved. I mean, there's not an approach that says you're not going to use is, or I haven't put forward one that says is deployment of goes away. So, the question I think is just where you put the definitional responsibility for indicating that something is a service deployment versus indicating what type of service deployment something is.
So what's your, do you have a particular inclination towards one approach, Ben?
The thing that seems like it hews a little bit closer to the mix-in kind of nature of the existing structure of content models and relationships to me is the relying on is deployment of, like the presence of is deployment of indicates that something is supposed to be a deployment of a service. And then indicates to Fedora that it needs to look at that object's content models and see if it can find a service deployment provider that one of those models indicates. Is that?
Yeah, I think.
It's just that I think that the other line, the has model line, is probably also needed. That there's some questions that we need to ask. For example, is this service deployment compatible with a particular version of Fedora? Is a question that we need to ask. Because as we go on, there will be new,
Sorry, Dan. Just going to ask, is that not a function of whether there's an implementation of that? I mean, in Ben's scheme where you register classes for handling different kinds of service deployments. I mean, whether it's supported by this version of Fedora is just a matter of whether it exists in the map or not.
Are you talking about the Spring map?
Well, as drawn here, yes, but it's essentially a service deployment PID to class name map or association.
What I'm thinking is that that sort of information actually does get registered inside of digital objects within Fedora, not as Spring, not only as Spring artifacts, and that by actually putting the class name in the service deployment, that dynamically. When that is asserted or changed, you can then pick out of Fedora that piece of information and dynamically bind it into Spring for execution. That you don't use static Spring wiring to do this.
Well, okay, but what... what's the trade-off here? Because, I mean, I'm thinking, okay, let's say I just had it in a file as configuration. And I know we've had this sort of ongoing thread of trying to get as much configuration into the digital objects as possible, which I assume is still an ongoing thread, for system configuration. But in this particular case, are we missing something important in solving this problem by not having this configuration actually in some Fedora object? Because I can see if we go down the road of trying to push this into Fedora objects, then it becomes an issue of, how do we update that object? What tools do we provide? What format do we define it in? To answer those questions.
I have an expectation that, and this may not be the right object, but let me just talk about the use, is that at some point for many things, the code will actually be stored in a Fedora object, because the code represents important information about the provenance of the how the content is executed and provided.
Mm-hmm.
I will grant you that it may not be best put in the service deployment object. It may be referred to. But the idea of the service deployment was to have a dynamic registry for these bindings, but one that also could be persistent.
Yeah. your last statement there. I'm just kind of grokking a little bit.
It's just that I can always put a new one in. I could make a policy decision to keep the old one around if I wanted to point to new code as history. Or I can version the code that it points to.
Yeah.
At
some point along the line, I mean, whether you've pushed most of this kind of configuration into Fedora objects or Spring objects, at some point along the line, there's some running code in the Fedora instance, which is doing some kind of kernel work. I mean, there has to be something running for Fedora, something for Fedora to run without, we've talked about trying to have, like, eventually end up with a very small kernel in Fedora. But there are some assumptions that still need to be made in the code itself. So I agree with the move of trying to minimize that, what that bootstrap code has to look like, and what Java-specific of, what built-in, configuration assumptions it needs to make. But what I'm struggling with a little bit is this. Well, first of all, I like to, take things like this in sort of a stepwise approach and say, are we, after step one, are we closer to where we eventually want to be, or where we think we might want to be at some point? So I guess I'm looking at this as, here's the question. If we do this in a way that has the configuration for some of these key mappings in Spring, are we moving ourselves closer to where we want to be?
You did several things along the way there, but for just the last one, yes, having this done in Spring gets us closer, because if it's statically wired in Spring, later on we can dynamically load and make executable stuff. So it's a step along the way. I also, sorry to interrupt, but I started with one of the bad use cases, a not so good use case in the compatibility. What I should say is that you have this circumstance where you need to add service deployments. You may need to add service deployments before you've added any of the data-related content models that utilize them. So there is a point where you may not have an is deployment of relationship asserted yet. So
that just means you can't invoke those methods
until that happens. Yeah. But it's nice to know, still have the is a relationship, which is we're using as the has model, to classify the object in the system.
Well, you could also argue that has model, is giving you enough information to infer some sort of is a relationship, which we haven't specified exactly. In other words, there's a functional purpose for has model, as it's used today.
Right.
And I can see it as being on par with something like RDF type or, you know, insert object-oriented class declaration. But
right.
I can definitely see it as being on par, but then this move toward toward kind of getting that information from the nature of the thing via a couple arcs as also on par with that, if we imagine it them in neither case being specifically is a relationships. They're just pointing to functional possibilities.
I don't disagree with that at all. The example I would say about the HAS model is exactly the same thing. We're not utilizing it right now, but if, for example, some of them of the service deployments are WSDL based and some of them use some other language, then we might actually need, we probably should have a concrete model that says what data streams are going to be in that particular service deployment. So if somebody wants to build one, we can validate it.
And I want to be clear that I never suggested that you would not have the HAS model relationship in, yep. In these, because I always imagine that would be the way that you would look up, that you would load the kind of handling library for that that service deployment. And for precisely the reason Dan just indicated, I actually think that the content model is a good way to deal with that, because that library needs to be able to make some assumptions about what data streams are going to be available for the descriptions of the service deployment in question.
Right.
So is this the, stepping back a little bit, it would help if I could just validate a set of triples here and see if that coincides with what we're talking about. The scenario we're talking about is an example scenario where this could be used is we have a service deployment object which is fulfilling some behavior for some set of objects. That service deployment object, the Fedora object, has a model which is, in this case, a service deployment. Let's say it's not Fedora service or deployment 3.0, it's some extended one, some different one. And that different one has a is deployment of relationship to some service deployment object. What is that service deployment object that it's pointing to? Is that a built-in identifier, or is that service deployment 3.0?
Okay, I think I had a little bit different understanding of the way that the relationship should work. And so is it okay for me to
definitely
describe the alternative?
That's what I want to be clear on.
So right now in Fedora, right now, when you have a service deployment object, it has the content model service deployment 3.0. And I am suggesting that that same service deployment would have the exact same content model and is deployment of and its contractor of relationships. And if there was another type of service deployment, then there would be a service deployment object. Let's say it's that compact markup that Asker was using for data stream methods. So you would have a service deployment object, and its model would be, Fedora system compact markup 4.0. And then it would have an is deployment of and an is contractor of. And it would exist in the same ecosystem as the other 3.0 WSDL based markup. And because they both have is deployment of relationships, then they would be kind of available to be used as service deployments. And when they were used, like when some other object said that that was their service deployment, or actually when they're looked up as being the service deployment for some other object, the Fedora system compact model 4.0 indicates that one service deployment object's behavior is a little bit different and based on different assumptions about the available data streams than service deployment 3.0.
Yeah.
So I think there's one less level of divergence than what you were describing.
Okay. I was concentrating on the what's at the end of the is deployment of ARC for your custom service deployment. So I think it's at least I'm pretty clear on the idea that any kind of service deployment object could have its own, any service deployment object would be conformant to a given model, which was the model required for fulfilling the behavior of that service deployment. But the part that I'm, I guess, a little less clear on is you said we would know that it's a service deployment, or it needs to be treated as our concept of a service deployment in the system just by the fact that it has an is deployment of ARC. And that actually in itself might be enough. But what I'm wondering is what's at the end of that is deployment of ARC?
Oh, a service definition.
Okay, and is that service definition a specific service definition that we define?
Yeah, those are actual service definition objects.
Okay, are they? Is there like a single one that is the fixed service definition whose existence or just any service definition?
Yeah, just any service definition.
Okay, maybe.
Because those aren't, because is deployment of isn't, it's not really an analog to the HAS model. It actually suggests that, you know, for content models that I am a contractor for, if you ask for a service definition that I am a deployment of, right?
Okay.
So those actually are I envision those being the same as they are. Well, I shouldn't say envision because that sounds like I have much more confidence in the way this would work than I do. But I'm suggesting that we could accomplish this by having all of the change really be behind as model, and just putting more weight on the fact that an object makes an is deployment of assertion be the thing that indicates that it's a deployment.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is Aaron. I'm just having a thought in my mind while we're discussing, and so I mean, in my mind, there's basically sort of two separate threads here. One of which is Fedora identifying something as a service deployment and knowing that it's connected to a particular service definition. And the other is executing that service deployment in an extensible way. So what I'm wondering is, do we basically need either inference or basically two models declared for like a next generation service deployment, one basically, you know, relating it to the, you know, service deployment 4.0 or something like that. Fedora's basic concept of what a service deployment is, i.e. that it has relationships, is contractor and is deployment of, and also it contains a method map or something like that. Furthermore, another content model, which then basically tells Fedora how to execute it. You know what I'm saying? Or is that like...
I think, Aaron, you're picking up on maybe the nuance that was causing a little confusion for me, because I think the way, Ben, you just described it actually makes sense to me. And I mean, you know, just the fact that it has an arc to a service definition makes it to the system, makes it obvious that, you know, it can be treated as a service deployment. But then what I thought was maybe we were making another jump, which maybe it just makes sense to deal with separately, but which is the ability to dynamically execute this special service definition or this special service deployment object. And I don't know, maybe it makes sense to just what's your view of how the execution would work at that point?
My view of how the was that to me?
Yeah, sorry.
What I'm imagining there is that when a particular object is being used as the service deployment, then you get its content models and you ask the service manager or Spring or whatever, do you have a service deployment implementation for this content model? Which is the reason that
I was just going to say, and a service deployment implementation for this content model is actually what you're asking for is which class needs to be used to be able to interpret this kind of service deployment, right?
That's right. I'm not talking about digital objects. I'm talking about beans.
Gotcha. Okay. So that list, it would be necessary to list out that service deployment PID to service deployment class mapping somewhere. And then there's the additional question of, in Java land, now that we're in Java land, what's the generic interface on these service deployment aware executors?
Yeah, this is actually how we get back to my original concern of unruly Spring configuration files with lots and lots of maps of of content models to classes.
Yeah, and that's why I was thinking about the dynamic binding. But I think it was interesting that let me check to see if I understand a motivation here. The service deployment is doing two things right now. It's attempting to help bind the arguments that are used for a service call, and it's attempting to tell you what the endpoint is for you to do that call, where you get the functionality. The current method of binding describing what the binding should be to the arguments directly identifies the data streams in the content model, and it sounded to me like by letting Spring make the decision about what the functionality you're going to call is, then lets us continue with service deployments that actually have kind of a rigid binding mechanism. The flip side of it is have service deployments that are mostly about the determining what functionality to call and deal with the issue of having pretty rigid binding.
Well, Ben just mentioned the, you know, there's this concern about maybe the bean or the configuration for these things getting unwieldy. And I kind of wanted to see if we could just try playing out a scenario here fully and see what the see what issues might come up, because at least for me, like, it's starting to gel a little bit in my mind on how this would work, and I'm becoming actually more comfortable with the whole idea rather than more concerned about it. I mean, I think you know, we mentioned this Java class that is capable of interpreting a service, a kind of service deployment object, and I started like thinking, well, gee, that it might be hard to define what's the generic interface for that thing, but then it occurs to me that maybe it's not really that big a deal. I mean, if I've already got a Fedora digital object in context, in, you know, I'm invoking this call and it's to some method on some object, and I've gotten to the point where a Fedora service, a specific service deployment object is in scope. And I've also been able to determine through this map, based on the kind of service deployment object that is, that it's, you know, here's the class that I need to pass this to. So wouldn't these service classes or service deployment interpreting classes be able to just take, you know, like as a generic Java interface, be able to take the object that's in scope, the methods that were called, and the service deployment object, a reference to the service deployment object that was used. And then that particular implementation of the service deployment interpreter would just be responsible for actually fulfilling the call at that point. I mean, so it seems to me like a signature might be enough. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm going off the deep end here. So somebody has to.
The notion in here, in that map that you're talking about, is getting back to the basic notions of UDDI and the EBXML service registries. So that you would go out to this external service registry to then figure out what service you were going to call. One of the intent of the original service deployments was to be the service registry, but then it kind of got both into a binding mapping and a service registry wrapped into one, and that's caused it to be too rigid. I kind of want to break for a second. Does that sound meaningful?
Well, it does, although okay. I mean, I don't know if other people are following along here. It would be helpful to know. Certainly on the, you know, I know that there's on the UDDI, the old UDDI idea, there's this idea of being able to look up a web service that implements some interface. But I'm not sure. I mean, is there a common problem dealt with there that applies to this situation? Or
it's the service finding. Find, bind, and execute is the pattern that's supposed to solve. Is you want to find a service that matches the characteristics you need. You look it up in the registry. You find out what its characteristics are and find its endpoint, and eventually you bind your call to that endpoint and call it. Fedora's mediation service should be its own service registry, or could be its own service registry. That's what you're talking about, as far as I can tell right now, is you want to try to look up inside of Spring a service that has the characteristics that you want to have.
Yeah, and I guess I'm not even asking Spring for it. I'm asking a Java class that's registered as a service. I mean, at this point, like, to me, where the configuration of the mapping, from a functional standpoint, the configuration of the mapping from a service, a PID of a service definition.
The question is, do you want that information you might be still calling a Java service, but do you want the information that service is using to be also in Fedora or to be outside of Fedora only?
Mm. I'm getting a little bit lost, and I think maybe I'm confusing myself here. 'Cause a few minutes ago when I said I'm getting comfortable with this, I kept thinking that map actually wouldn't be, you know, I kept referring to these a kind of SDEF or SDEP interpreter. So today we have one, the kind that can interpret service deployment 3.0 kinds of service deployments. I kept thinking, well, yeah, maybe we'll introduce like one or two or three or four more, but it probably isn't going to get like into this big long list. Sure, maybe over 50 years, but you know, let's not kid ourselves. So, you know, for the time being, if that's the map, if that's the kind of map we're talking about, then that's not actually a very big set of data, and it's not something that doesn't change very often at all.
How are you going to load them? If you're talking about a map that's being kept somewhere, you know, cached in the Fedora code that you're looking this stuff up in, or is it in, how does that map get loaded?
Well, ultimately I'm asking a Java class I'm in Java code and I've got to execute something. So I'm asking a singleton type class for, across the server, you know, for this kind of service definition, give me the class that can interpret it. So the implementation might be Spring underneath.
But how does the map get the information in the map get loaded?
Ben was about to say something. I don't want to.
Well, kind of along those lines, I think there's two different the two different things that are being proposed. What I was suggesting was that all this stuff is in the Spring configuration file. I think what Dan is suggesting is that the different Fedora objects that are not really like data objects, but represent things like a service deployment type or something like that. Mm-hmm. That those Fedora objects have relationships or byte streams or whatever that indicate how they should be dealt with.
Right. So one of them may call a web service at a particular endpoint. Another one may say delegate this to my container, Spring. Another one with specifics in it about how I'm, where I'm going to go to get that functionality for that particular service.
Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm going to leave aside any questions of performance and efficiencies or anything like that, but I'm going to go back to the example of the triple generator that is in my page as an example of what these beans look like.
Yeah.
That rather than have that bean at all, well, maybe not rather than have that bean, but rather than have that map in the bean, that on each of those objects, on the service definition 3.0 objects, you could have some relationship that indicated that the class that generated triples for that content model was FC repo server resource index, you know, blah, blah, blah. And rather than get that mapping out of the Spring configuration, the Spring bean could look at the Fedora object of service definition 3.0 to figure out whether it has a triple generator associated with it. And I think what Dan is saying is just that even if you can do it in Spring, that from the repository view, there's a value added to having an archivable, kind of persistable, versionable encapsulation of that data as a Fedora object itself. Is that right, Dan?
It is, and what that means is that I don't have to use a UDDI or EBMX, XML, or any other external registry. I become my own registry. Doesn't mean that I can't use an external registry if that's what you really want to use.
Here's where I'm getting a little confused here. Sorry, Dan. I just want to make sure I'm following along here. Where I'm getting confused here is in, you're talking about the, in talking about really how big this map has to be, and I guess at some point I was thinking that this wasn't actually that hard. And I think maybe if I can just lay out my understanding, and Ben, if you could, or Dan, if you could tell me, you know, if this is right. But, you know, today we have one kind of service deployment object, and that's the kind that Fedora knows how to interpret, which maps to Fedora SDEP 3. And there's some code that implements that. And say, you know, 6 months down the road, a year down the road, I think the suggestion is that we have multiple kinds of service deployment objects. One that's capable of interpreting Fedora data or Fedora objects that are service deployments that say use a simple REST style. Another one that's capable of using Fedora objects that have some maybe more modern WSDL than what we have today. So we have maybe, you know, three or four of these things. So we need a way to be able to, based on the information asserted in some objects, to be able to ultimately execute some code that knows how to interpret those. And as I was thinking about this, I thought, well, that's not that hard of a problem. I mean, just we have to have some key information, and to be able to look that up somewhere that maps that key information to a class, an entry point for being able to to execute this kind of service deployment. And so I'm not seeing that we're, I guess I'm not seeing like that we're really gaining. Well, you know, I guess, I mean, Ben, if you're comfortable with trying to put all this mapping in Fedora objects for now, that's fine. But it doesn't seem like it's much information and apt to change very often, is it? I mean,
I think the problem is the binding to the arguments. Is that we've got the right now the way this thing is defined. You've got each type of thing, service you want to call crossed by every type of content model you want to call that from. Because I'm mentioning the data streams by name. So that cross product can get nasty.
Well, at this point, if I have a signature, say we define a common SDEP interpreter interface in Java that can be used forever and ever. Just kidding, but you know, they can be used for a long time to be able to interpret this stuff. That interface doesn't even need to be aware of it just needs to be aware of the fact that a request came into Fedora. It needs to have some information about the context of the request, especially including the user supplied arguments, and the service, the specific service deployment object, and the specific data object that the request is being invoked on. And if that interface to me seems like it could be defined fairly loosely and therefore apply to all possible service deployment interpreter implementations.
I think I would go maybe even a step further and say those interfaces largely already exist in the Fedora code base and in the form of service definition reader and service deployment reader and the functionality they share in that service map request. Mm-hmm. And that if you kind of move those away from being implementations and towards being interfaces, and that what you're looking up is an implementation of those interfaces that's going to take a DO reader as an argument, then I think that largely works. I feel like Dan's concern is just how much or how valuable this information that gets pushed out into external configuration files is to a repository, or maybe I'm, but
I just wanted to chime in. I think your suggestion, Chris, is right on.
So I'm looking at service definition reader, Ben. You mentioned that whatever this interface is could actually be already defined. And I guess I was thinking something slightly different than this, because the responsibility here is just to read a deployment object. I'm actually talking about an interface that is capable of handling a request, you know, being able to get a request after Fedora has already looked up which object is in context, which method, and which service which specific service deployment object is in context, and being able to take whatever was passed in, go and execute it based on how it knows how to interpret that kind of service deployment, and then, you know, send a response back out.
I think there you you might be talking about stuff that is currently bound up in implementations of method def operation bind.
Some of this stuff is in various classes today.
Yeah. So, but I do think they're. I'm not arguing the validity of that as a desired outcome. I just want to point out that a lot of that work is in the code in some form or another, and there's stuff to build on there, I guess, is what I mean to say.
Yeah. You might need some information in order to bind the arguments. You might need some declarative information and how to bind some arguments for a particular service for a particular content model.
Right. That's actually the labor that the service deployment reader does right now.
Yeah. But part of the information it's getting is from the service deployment object.
Right. Well, this is so service deployment reader. It's right now it's a subclass of digital object reader.
Yeah.
So it's fundamentally bound up in a particular deployment object.
Right.
And what the thing I'm kind of suggesting is, if rather than getting one type of service deployment reader, you parameterized the digital object reader part and made service deployment reader an interface and maintain this idea that there's some implementation class that knows how to take a service that does these things Chris is talking about, that got a request in the context of a data object. That request has been indicated to map to a deployment object. So now it's got these two digital objects, and it's producing these operation binds. I think we might be in violent agreement here. So I don't want to rattle on too long about it. But
I guess the thing that I agree with the sentiment of trying to build on what's already there. And I guess I was trying to think of it as being unconstrained. And when I see things like method def and method def operation bind in here, it just it makes me think that there's probably some things in there that are particular to our current conception of what a service definition or deployment can do that might not be necessary to hang on to in a general sense.
Well, so, I would suggest considering splitting the service deployment object up.
Yeah. So
one of them can. Yeah. Go ahead.
I just want to be clear. When you say splitting the service deployment object, you're talking about the Fedora service deployment object and splitting it up into different. One concern being, around
argument binding.
Argument binding, and another and being.
Other being the connection to the actual service.
I'd agree with that kind of separation. I'm kind of trying to think of what are the overall sort of high level use cases here that this would address, and that's if a particular external web service on which your methods are dependent changes dramatically in the way that you even call the service. How are we aiding the process of moving to the new style web service, and where would one expect to configure that in terms of overall repository configuration or objects themselves?
Yeah, the one obvious place I can think of where splitting it up makes sense is, you know, right now the actual endpoint of the service is encoded right within the service deployment, and you know it seems like there's a lot of extra stuff to have to carry along if you want to have a bunch of different endpoints that are the same, really the same. The same kind of invocable service that behaves in the exact same way. Are there other examples besides the endpoint that it actually makes sense, like that we see there's a lot of sort of duplication of effort or whatever in creating a new service deployment object? Because remember, I mean, service deployment objects aren't that difficult to create. It's just a question of whether we're repeating ourselves and making the maintenance of them too difficult for people.
Mm. I mean, the overall objective at this stage, I think, has to be to encourage people to use the content model architecture to its fullness. And we probably don't want to get too ahead of ourselves sort of architecturally. I don't know, just generally making it a bit easier so we can see what people actually do in practice and what the real issues are.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, the whole splitting out thing makes me wonder if, Dan, did you have another area where it seems likely, or do you think the end point is probably the most obvious split out for now?
Yeah, it's the most obvious one, but we also want the freedom to be able to do exactly the same functionality more than one way. And probably there's going to be more natural ways to get to that functionality that are a lot more straightforward and easy to understand. So, for example, I may call out to a SOAP or a web endpoint one day, but I really want to go ahead and do that in Java code, and I want to stick that Java code right inside my Spring container and call it. And it does exactly the same thing. It takes exactly the same arguments.
I ask a question on that? If it were implemented differently, in other words, if it wasn't just a different endpoint, then would it? I mean, the obvious thing is you create a new service deployment object that's capable of dealing with that kind of invocation. I mean, that seems fair, right? I'm not sure what else the service deployment. I mean, that seems like the main purpose to me. If we take out the concern of just what the endpoint is, and just say, you know, the job of this thing is to describe how to invoke this kind of service given an endpoint, then it's hard to define how to decompose that in a way that applies to a large set of possible service deployment interpreters.
Well, the thing that was in my head just for a moment is ignore the name service deployment that's in the picture. But if that box just becomes how do I bind the arguments for a given for that relationship between the service definition and the content model. So that only contains the information on how do I bind the arguments. And then you've got a new object, a service binding object that has a relationship to the service deployment that says these are the different bindings that will do exactly that.
Yeah, except how do you define the concept of binding in a way that isn't particular to a given kind of solution? I mean, because we want this to be very flexible in terms of, you know, maybe an implementation could execute Java code. Maybe another one could do REST style stuff based on some data. Maybe another one could do SOAP stuff based on SOAP-ish data. How do you define the concept of binding in a Java interface in a way that's actually useful for splitting out those concerns? I mean,
I think in some ways the two things that are running together there are what is the client facing endpoint, and that is really actually a matter for how service definitions work, and what is the back end, like the binding, and the binding can be anything as long as that binding is able to produce basically a MIME type byte stream. So I hesitate to get too caught up in the idea of endpoints when you're talking about the deployment, the kind of action side of things. I think it's really fruitful to talk about them if you want to talk about about making available different types of service definitions, but
so even endpoints, well, no, maybe you're not saying that. Well, it's observed.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is there's two endpoints, right? There's the endpoint that Fedora presents to the thing that it's interacting with. Mm-hmm. And there's the, in our existing way of thinking about things, there's an endpoint that a service deployment binds to.
Yes,
that it kind
and
of
that's
the and
latter,
latter one,
the one
need not exist as an endpoint.
Right, so it may
endpoint,
be...
Endpoint there is just one specific implementation of the way the binding works.
Yeah. So it could even be that in the generic sense, even trying to separate out endpoint becomes pretty difficult.
I think you're really just talking about these operational bindings.
Yeah. So for the example of Java, if the example is, you know, I'm invoking local Java code, clearly there, you know, if there was a service deployment interpreter or whatever that could handle these kinds of requests, then endpoint doesn't really make sense in that context. It's just like,
right.
Well, even endpoint. Well, I know SOAP and REST style stuff try to share a concept of endpoint in WSDL, but it doesn't really work out that way exactly.
I mean, maybe as an example, you decide that with the smiley images, that your new image definition, your image objects, instead of sending a request off to that image resizing web app, that it actually has a class in line that generates the resized image and sends it back.
But would you expect
the request?
Would you expect that kind of functionality to be part of Fedora, to be inline code, or, you know, it's kind of, where is the barrier between a preservation kind of system and services that it needs? Is this a question rather than a statement?
Well, I think if you introduce an architecture whereby people can introduce their own types of service deployments, then that's already out of your control.
Yeah.
Because their code is going to be responsible for sending you the results back. So,
agreed.
Yeah.
So you might have a best practice, you know, that says, try to make sure all your code is archived and whatnot. But as soon as we let the cat out of the bag,
you can't force them to do it.
Yeah.
But you want to make it possible if they do want to do it.
Yeah, and if people start doing it, I mean, we might have, first of all, having ways to do it would be nice, but we want to make sure that we're not taking sort of this hard stance that every bit of code that you need to execute for service deployment has to be inside Fedora, while still allowing people to do that, And maybe down the line, we get to a point where that code could even be, you know, stored as OSGI bundles in Fedora objects and dynamically loaded or whatever. But, you know, that's a ways from here. Okay. So it's helpful for me. I think for me, this discussion has been really helpful thus far. I'm wondering if other people feel like it's kind of a natural time to summarize and talk a little about next steps.
I am in favor of that.
Yeah.
We're an hour and 40 into it. So, well, again, maybe I'll try to summarize a little bit, and see if you guys have any, changes to that. But so one thing initially, and this doesn't apply to the majority of the discussion, but Aaron mentioned the idea of not trying to put this in DO Manager was one recommendation. The fact that having the ability to do these kinds of lookups is probably a separate module in Fedora, which we're referring to as Service Manager. And so it seemed like that was generally agreed upon. The other side of it was this whole discussion on service deployments and how we make the determination down the line that a service deployment needs to ultimately invoke a specific bit of Java code. And it seemed like, it seemed like people were comfortable with the approach of getting that information via a has model relationship from an SDEP to something and having the fact that something was, or that SDEP was a notional Fedora service deployment object was really inferred by the fact that it's a deployment of some service definition object. Is that accurate? Maybe I made that a longer string than it needed to be. Ben?
That seems like an accurate summary of the a lot of what we talked about.
Okay. I was just talking about that one specific piece. That last piece, just the where the arc is. And then there was this whole discussion. Go ahead.
I was just going to say I want to interject something. I feel like one of the things that the fervent optimist in me may have thought was not necessarily so, but appears to be an assumption of all of the people on the call, is that that most of the stuff we're talking about is a 4.0 is happening in a outside of the scope of the 3.4 release.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned that, and I guess I didn't want to speak for anybody else there, but
I mean, it seems fair. Some of these are pretty big changes, and it seems pretty unlikely that they get rattled off in the next 4 weeks. So, but because that to me conditions part of the way that we talk about this stuff going forward is whether we're talking about it. How many 3x assumptions do we have to keep in the scope of the conversation? And then also, I guess I should defer to Steve. I mean, Steve, this all sounds like it's off the roadmap for your release.
I don't know.
Or maybe not. Maybe everything needn't be. But I do like, as we summarize things, I think it would be helpful to also try and signpost them a little bit of, we imagine this in the as a possibility for the next release. We imagine this as a possibility for our next major release.
Yeah.
And for me, it really, that kind of thing dramatically affects the way that I think about something.
So it's a question of, you know, some of those things we came to in the London meeting, do those, like being able to invoke rest style, or being able to have rest style service deployment objects, ultimately. I mean, this is like, you know, we're talking about rejiggering the way that this comes together internally, but, you know, to the end user, the feature that this enables is what they're interested in knowing on the scope. So, you know, is it fair to say that? Well, I don't know. I guess my feeling on the whole 4.0 thing is that we've got a decent amount of stuff to try to finish up for 3.4, and I wouldn't want to. I think this is a really important piece for Fedora going forward, and I wouldn't want to have to do it in sort of a way that would be tied to some 3.x assumptions, or, you know, I do think it's important to have sort of a free sort of this free feeling when you're thinking about designing this stuff and not having to be married to the way that it's been done in the past. So that's kind of why I was pointing in the 4.0 direction, but ultimately, you know.
I mean, let me say this simply. I don't think this one should be rushed.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think that anything we can do shorter term that makes it easier for people in terms of content models, service deployments, service definitions, it would be good to get in sooner or later. But at the same time, we don't want to be locking ourselves into something that might change in the future. And it's the architectural change side of things. So.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of thinking that, you know, at least moving the service deployment stuff out of DO Manager would be something that would be, you know,
stuff that just starts cleaning up. Yeah, stuff that just starts cleaning up the code and paving the way forward, I think. I mean, in terms of the sort of the triple generator stuff there, I mean, I've got a feeling that those should be moved into kind of a declarative specification based on content models rather than, you know, an implementing class, as it were. To say, you know, for a particular kind of object, here's the kinds of triples you'll generate, rather than having sort of this imperatively create some a slightly side issue.
Yeah, so being able to read whatever data description of
You say, you know, this is a service deployment object, therefore I'll create these triples rather than.
So it seems like anything. I mean. I think if it's a major, if we have in front of us, you know, can this be done in the right way, or would we feel like we're too rushed in getting something together? I think when we're faced with that kind of decision and there's not a lot of pressure, then I feel like we should opt for the right way and giving ourselves enough time to do things on specific items that take, you know, that make incremental steps toward getting us, you know, to where we want to go, like, you know, refactoring the existing stuff and taking it out of DO Manager. I think that's, to me, that's fair game for an early release, because it takes us a step there. It doesn't set up, you know, it's more of a thing for our purposes. It's something that helps us in having a better design and being able to work.
And we felt pretty satisfied on the responses to that poll that there just aren't very many local implementations of the DO Manager interface.
Yeah, actually, I can look that up. But yeah, there were, I think one person last I checked had even responded. And they said something about a low-level storage plugin.
Okay.
But we know about Asker's thing that he discussed with enhanced content models. So, you know, there's some thoughts to be had about how that's going to work out. But I'm going to go ahead and look it up so I can be speaking accurately. But
yeah, I mean, the only DAO manager implementations I come across are things, you know, subclassing the default DAO manager to provide indexing in Solr and that sort of thing, GSearch and other indexing type things. We should really be moved towards a decorator pattern. Anyway.
Yeah. So this, let's see, we had there was a response from Paul Pound, and the other person didn't provide a contact information. And Paul said that they actually have a custom servlet filter. So this wasn't a DAO manager, but they, for their authentication and authorization purposes, and it was kind of irrelevant for the question at hand, but you know, that's interesting to know. And then the other person, let me just look here, had a, was just dependent on the custom GSearch one that triggered. So, okay. And that's the one that we provided. So,
That's just another, I think, pretty important consideration for stuff that we think to do in 3.4 is how much pain are we going to cause if we make some changes to default DAO manager. But
And in this particular case, I'm not sure. I guess those are public methods. So you're right that if somebody had some dependencies on those, it might be breaking something, but in that particular, so the thing that Aaron suggested, it seems like that's pretty fair.
Yeah, it sounds like something we can pursue and.
Yeah. Let's see, and then just not back to the general summary here. It's hard to summarize the last sort of nuanced discussion we had, but it was all about.
Can I try one?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I think that it's every bit as important to look at how we can drive more flexibility in the argument binding for a service. That is going to profoundly affect how we then connect or pass those arguments into the actual service invocation.
Okay, and the argument binding that you're talking about, Dan, is binding. It's not the front end binding from when the user hits some method. You're talking about the back end service binding.
That's correct. Is one of the driving reasons that we have three required relations in there right now: the has service, is deployment of it, is contractor of, is to make that binding to the data streams. But we also have to do, would like to have flexibility and binding to other stuff. But if I was going to give a prime example, we have folks that have books. They divided them into chapters. Each chapter is in a data stream. So I really don't know how many data streams are going to be and what their names are going to be. And so we have to be able to have that sort of flexibility.
Yep. And it, yeah.
And there are other places to get arguments too. So
the summary of that aspect is, you know, we want to make sure that whatever solution we employ has flexibility on argument bindings to a service, as, you know, absolutely as much as possible. So we can't be making too many assumptions, clearly, on the particular kind of service deployment that's being invoked. The other thing that we touched on near the end was the idea of breaking it out, breaking out service deployments into multiple objects. And it seems like where we came to on that was that if we think of it as a general problem, there's not very much. If we just define, here's the responsibility of this kind of thing being, executing a kind of service deployment object with some input data, and we open up the possibility for Java-based, REST-based, WSDL-based, etc., then it's hard to define in generic terms, at least, how that would be broken out. That might end up being a concern of a particular kind of service deployment object. I think there may be some more discussion to be had there on the endpoint issue, because I know, you know, we're trying to make this stuff easier for people, and being able to move a service from one endpoint to another is an existing or being able to have a service being hosted at multiple locations is, and having to carry along all that data in a wholly separate service deployment object is an existing discomfort, I think, for people. How big it is, I don't know. I mean, I don't think that many people are actually using these, so I don't think a lot of people are screaming right now about it. But that's a good issue to be aware of and just think about how it plays out and if there's a way that we can improve how that's done. We also touched on the possibility of the different possibilities on where the mapping is done. And Dan made a good point about enabling people to store this inside Fedora, store this kind of mapping inside Fedora, so that, you know, they can preserve as much as possible about their runtime environment down the road, and maybe having a system recognized or system recommended way of doing that makes sense. But by the same token, we recognize that if this kind of configuration were done in a Spring Bean, that would still be an improvement to where we are today. And, you know, it still leaves the options open for storing or having a richer way to, or a more system recognized way of storing things inside Fedora objects. So it seems like a fair first move is to conceptualize this as this mapping as living either in a data file or a Fedora object. But, you know, it can be it seems like a pretty simple, wherever it happens to exist, seems like it could be abstracted away from the real bulk of the problem, which is the fact that we need to have an implementation of some kind of interface that executes these things in Java. That was kind of a, you know, hand wavy, but oh well. Is that, Dan, were you following along?
Yeah, I was following along. Unfortunately, I tend to use different terms is, you know, I think of Fedora as primarily a mediator that has repository functionality, because it's a registry repository. If you go out and look at some folks who have done that for SOAs, this is a concept that is fairly popular right now, a registry repository. So, so having the ability to register and mediate services is, I think, a fundamental function of Fedora, and that it's perfectly okay to delegate it. So it could be delegated to Spring or UDDI or other sorts of things, but the idea is to continue to provide a way for Fedora to mediate the binding to the service.
So, yeah, and I think that regardless of where the mapping is stored, it still provides a way to mediate the binding of to specific services via different kinds of data objects. I'm right. Pretty sure. So
users only have to think in terms of Fedora, systems administrators or repository administrators have to figure out how to get it deployed.
Yeah. So it seems fair to me that if Ben, you know, as you continue this process of thinking this thing out, that if it becomes apparent to you that storing this stuff in Fedora objects, like there's a good pattern for that, and you know, doesn't complicate the initial work of just getting this to be more flexible, then it seems, you know, fair to think about it that way to me. I do just myself prefer a stepwise approach here, and if it starts to feel too complicated, it seems like you know, maybe we want to think about just having a little list in a file somewhere, and then recognizing that could be pushed to Fedora objects or whatever at some future point in time.
I think the approach is going to have to be that we kind of think out what the interfaces should be like and how those tasks might be accomplished on the consumption side, and have that decision, I mean, not to say deferred, but in a place where we can implement it in more than one way. The fact that we have that little internal database to facilitate lookups about these things right now, to me is, I think, a maybe not an indication, but a warning that loading and parsing multiple digital objects to accomplish the provision of a service request is something that has not ended well in the past. So there may end up being a pragmatic concern that we either have to duplicate data somewhere, which is what we're doing now, basically, and say it's in an object and it's in a Spring configuration and it's in a properties file or something.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, not worry about the objects and hold it out as something we wish we could do. But I want to try and work from the interfaces, and I recognize the value of doing that, but I just want to keep in mind that it's an implementation concern. And
I agree with your sentiment there, that thinking about the interfaces and then maybe coming back to this question or just considering it along the way makes sense, because ultimately we have to have whatever those interfaces are. And I do think that fleshing them out a little further will give us a little more to sort of hang on to while we're having this discussion, so that, you know, that we can make some assumptions and you know, keep in mind that the necessary thing is to fulfill whatever those interfaces are going to be, and then how we do it is another question. So that actually gets us into next steps. Maybe I can try to wrap this up in the next couple of minutes. Ben, you mentioned an obvious next step is to start to think about what the interface is going to be like, right? Or interfaces. Are there any other items, I mean, besides actually acting on what Aaron recommended in FC Repo 658, that you can think of as next steps, Ben?
I think that actually would be the next thing that I would look at doing is reevaluating what the interfaces look like and deciding because it plays a little bit on FC Repo 658 too, like how would we like to do stuff like that, and what are going to be the source of the implementations of those interfaces in the code.
So that's the major thing next.
Yeah, I think that's going to be, you guys were talking about what are the concerns for a service deployment object now and how should they be separated and how. I think that stuff needs to get maybe, if not hammered out, at least thought about before other stuff happens.
Yep. So also, I think it would be helpful just for the sake of it when we have this discussion, maybe to have a visual representation of these relationships,
yeah.
Just, object to object as blobs with arrows between them.
That's an excellent idea, yeah.
Yeah. Ben, would you be willing to put something like that together?
I'll try and put something like that together. I recognize my follow-up page from the London meeting is a really unwieldy document. So, I'll do what I can do.
Cool. Well, it's got good ideas, and I think as we've gotten into this discussion, I've certainly gained a much better understanding. But I feel like communicating it like a picture would help, at least in talking about the relationships between the different entities. So that'd be cool. Okay. All right. I would say anything else, but I'm going to go. So.
Actually, I'd like to say thanks to everybody for indulging my desire to have a talk like this. I just was concerned that doing any more work on this in this area was going to have me go off in a divergent direction from what you were thinking about.
I really appreciate your instinct to bring people together on this discussion too, Ben, because I think there is a danger of us diverging in our thought processes around this stuff. And the earlier we talk about some of these key design things, the better off we're going to be.
I do too, Ben, because I've been frustrated over the last year and a half of not getting to the next generation of this. And as we move forward in our other stuff, like the data conservancy, this is the Zen of Fedora here. We get this right, and there are some other people that are trying to figure out how to do these sorts of registry repositories that I talked about. And they're just itching for just the perfect one.
As long as we don't turn it into UDDI, I'm happy.
No. In fact, let me tell you what the big difference is between Fedora and these other registry repositories is that those aren't evolvable. They're set up to standards. They have a fixed information model. The UDDI does not have by itself a registry capability.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, a repository capability. Forgive me. But Fedora is the one that has the possibility of a flexible information model, evolvable mediator registry repository. And this is just the coolest thing, I think, about all of Fedora, not being a repository only. Because I can go buy, you know, fixed repositories.
Yeah, hopefully this, you know, furthering this work will open some eyes around that area and get more folks using it in that way too. So, all right, I'm ready to go and eat, get some lunch. Steve's probably ready to go.
Let's go
take a nap. Thanks, everybody. We'll okay. Still planning on having the meeting on Tuesday, so we'll talk to you then.
All right, great.
All right, talk see you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
The moderator has disconnected.